For tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, July the 4th, 1987. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tom Hodgins of the Atlanta, Georgia area is the teacher of the afternoon. Amen. Amen. So, Brother Tom, come and teach us and then do what the Word says. Cast them out.
Thank you. Get me turned on. How many of you, this will be the first time you've heard me teach. Would you raise your hand? Dear Lord. All right. And I felt it'd be that way because it always is. Now I'll go back to some preliminaries and go from there on up because it's important to the folks whose son and daughter daughter-in-law have a baby with cancer. We were in Buenos Aires, Argentina. And there's a preacher there who preached over the radio over the Voice of the Andes. And he made fun of tongues and Pentecostals. He was from a certain denomination down there. When we went down, his brother-in-law would come to all the meetings. He wouldn't come to any of them. But he got all the tapes. They make tapes of every place we go. He got all tapes, five of them, and took them to his brother-in-law, the preacher, who had been diagnosed that he had cancer of the brain. He had headaches. That's how I found it out. Had headaches to where he could hardly even think. He listened to the tapes. We'd gone to Rosario and other places, which is the headquarters for the occult in Argentina. We came back, and he left word we must come see him, and if we would. So we went. We got there, and the man who took me was Spanish, spoke Spanish. Everybody sat around speaking Spanish, and I sat around kind of like this, you know, not understanding any of it. I hablo español muy, muy poquito, and speak less than that even. So as I was listening to it, the Lord just said to me, begin with adultery. I'd never seen the man in my life. And I thought, well, dear Lord, how about that? How am I going to get into that? So I was sitting there kind of praying in tongues and waiting, and the children started fighting outside, and he turned to his wife, good-looking fellow, handsome, one of these Spanish mustaches, perfectly kept. He said something to her, and she took off. And then the Holy Spirit said, now. And I said, all right. So I said to the interpreter, I said, would you tell the brother that God tells me we have to deal with adultery in your life first? And so he told him. The man did not understand English, and I didn't understand Spanish, or not their kind. And the man went, and carried on for a while. And then he said to the man, my wife said if I ever looked at another woman, she would divorce me. And I said, well, you tell him that I'll pray for him only if we begin with dealing with adultery. Now, I've never done that before with a man, especially in a crowd of people. So we began. And we took unforgiveness, hate, bitterness, resentment. Oh, I always do that. That's cardinal rule with me, anyhow. And then we took the adultery. But his wife came back in. When she did, he told her. You could tell that he had told her. The way she looked at him and carried on and screamed and turned the other way. I said, preacher, tell the woman. She has to forgive her husband or her husband or God will not forgive her. He told her, and finally she gave in, and you could tell they made up. They turned and hugged each other and kissed. Went through it. And then we came to the Spirit. Of course, I had him come down here. I said, I want to talk to the demon. I come against the demon that the doctors call tumor. What has Satan called you? And he rolled back his lips and said, destruction. And I said, well, we renounce it. Get out of there in Jesus' name. And the man stood up, and I did too, and he drew back to hit me. I said, I paralyzed in Jesus' name. And so he stood right like that. I said, put your arms down and put them down the side. I said, back up. He backed up. I said, now come out of there in Jesus' name. He coughed, quit. Said, now what should I do? And I said, go to the hospital. But I said, have several examinations. They went, they checked, and they said, a second opinion. and this, another opinion. He said they had the room full of doctors, but they must have four or five. And every one of them said, here are the x-rays. You had tumor. You here they are now. You have no tumor. You have no indication of it. Go home. Now, to the one of that, I think God would heal a little child, a little baby, almost sooner than he would a grown man, wouldn't you? And especially a man that's talking against the baptism of the Spirit and against tongues. Well, they had fought tongues in that as long as anybody had known. That night or the following night, he came to service. After he'd had deliverance, I said, how many people here would like the baptism of the Spirit? Guess what? His hand went up, his wife's hand went up, and they got the baptism of the Spirit. And God is no respecter of persons. I cannot explain why sometimes you come against demons and they do not go out. Or why you pray for some people and they aren't immediately healed. Except that you have two things. God heals by a miracle, that quickly. And then God heals on kind of a time schedule. I know if certain things have been answered for me way on back when I got into deliverance, even for my own self, I probably wouldn't be here. God knows when. Don't forget God's timing on whatever you pray about. Now, today I want to, well, I want to pray first. But will you pray with me? Now, Satan, we come in the name of Jesus, and I address you and the principalities and the powers, the rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness and heaviness, and all you loser demons that are in these who are gathered here today. We are wearing the whole armor of God. We come under the shed blood of Jesus. We use the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, the sword of the Holy Spirit of God, and we speak the word of our testimony of healing and deliverance. And demons, even now as we lift our praises to the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bind the chief prince that's been assigned over this camp. We know that there's one there. Demon, we bind you. All the ruler spirits that have been assigned to every home that's represented here and every family. We also bind you, Satan, personally. And then it is written in the word of God, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. We have bound it here. God is bounded in heaven. Therefore, we now bind you and all your rulers and all the authorities, all the powers, all the rulers of darkness in the heavenlies. By faith we scatter every heavenly force arrayed against us, as the holy angels of God smite them in our behalf. Greater is he that is in us than he that is there. And more powerful are those who are with us than those who are with you. Even more in number are they with us than those who are with you. Jesus Christ himself sends his word to deliver us from your devices. We put to flight every demonic power in this city that would hinder us. And Satan, since we bound all your chiefs, all your demons grope in utter darkness. They're staggering as we smite them by the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Satan, you and every one of your angels and demons are now bound. God laughs. We laugh with him as we see you brought to derision. As you recognize you must now bow at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when your name is called demon, every demon and everyone here must go, because it is written, it is written, it is written. God's holy word also says, whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Therefore, we now loose the peace and the grace of God. We invite the Holy Spirit of God to come and work among us, saving, healing, delivering, as we see the kingdom of God being established on the earth. This we pray the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Now, it's one thing to cast out demons, another thing to keep them out. Can you hear me in the back all right? All right. Do you hear me over here? All right. One thing out, another thing to keep them out. And so I've arranged a little handful of five things that you ought to do to keep the demons out once they are cast out. And I've gone through different things through the years. I've been casting out demons 18 years. But I've put together a little simple thing that's going to be easy to remember. And it goes like this. Demons are cast out. How do we keep them from coming back in again? These you do every day. Number one, think of run. Every day comes, you've got to run that day. And so in order to do it, first you get up in the morning. I like to do it this way. Either in bed or after I get up, I say, Heavenly Father, please forgive me of any sins and cleanse me. so you have no sin. Fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit, your Spirit filled. I submit to thee my whole spirit, soul, and body. That's all you are. And here's what you have. My mind, emotions, and will, hearing and seeing and smelling, tasting and touching. So you take everything you have and you dedicate it, rededicate it, and surrender it to God Almighty. Now, I think that does good. I know it does. And then after we submit to him, we put on the whole armor of God. We'll do it at the end of the service, but the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, shoes of preparation, gospel of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, and watch your name through all prayer and supplication, praying in the Spirit. Pray in English, pray in the Spirit, or in tongues. Beloved, God didn't accidentally have us put on every piece of the armor and then pray in tongues. Tongues is your battle language. You do more fighting, more battle, and more direct, exact things in tongues than I believe ever in English. In English, you're limited to this thing up here. Too many of us have stinking thinking and numb and dumb these. So don't forget to pray in tongues. Now, you've talked to God, let him talk to you, read his word. We like to have it that every day we read the proverb for that day. Get a young man to do that, and it'll do more. There's more wisdom in the book of Revelation, in the book of Proverbs, than any book in the Bible. That's concentrated, capsule size wisdom and instruction. Now, the second thing, I like to put it instead of, you know, here's one and here's two, then I like to turn it a little bit like this. It makes an L. And L stands for what? Somebody's been listening. L stands for Lord. When the demons are cast out, they'll follow you around. They'll even sit on your shoulder. We know people who've seen demons sitting on people's shoulders or across the shoulders. And so when you're bothered by it, we make the L. That reminds me, all right, L stands for Lord. And so I say, I thank you, Lord. Again, where it's pointing. Say this after me. I thank you, Lord. You delivered me from that. Now, the truth of that is, you're praising God. You can do nothing higher. You were created to please and to glorify God. So we do that. And then we speak the truth. You delivered me. You cast the demons out. From that, don't call its name. Call it a that. We used to tell people, say, you demon of anger, temper, rage, blah, 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 blah. Get away from here, get out of my house, leave me alone. 5-minute conversation with a little old demon. In this way, you can cover the whole bunch. No matter what kind it is, the same thing works on every one of them. And when you say that, it hurts. It's below the belt because they want to hear their name. They're very prideful. They like to be talked about. They like to see, they understand how they've tormented you, and they enjoy it when you talk about it. Don't talk too much about demons after they're cast out.
Amen.
Don't be carried away with that.
Amen.
Get them, cast them out, go on. God will give you plenty of opportunities. The Holy Spirit will. He's the one that casts the demons out, and he'll lead people to you. It'll surprise you. They'll be talking along, and then they come to something and say, you know, something happened to me. And what they say is, the Holy Spirit will say to you, demons. When they get through, you'll say, you'd like to know what that is? Yeah, do you know? Yes, what? Demons. Demons! They think you got to be like this, you know, pushed in and in a straitjacket. Got demons, but that's not true. Wait for the Holy Spirit to lead. If the Holy Spirit doesn't lead you to talk to the lost sinner, you waste your time, God's time, and the sinner's time. In fact, you mess up the sinner's time. He's not ready. Same thing is true in deliverance, in casting out of evil spirits. All right, so number one, we start to run the day. We run it with God in the army. Number two, oh, thank you, Lord, you deliver me from that whenever it comes. It may come at any time, by the way. Then number three, think of three. When you think of three, you think of tree. You've got to crucify the flesh. Jesus was crucified on the cross. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and so forth. So, and I brought the illustration before, you are spirit, soul, and body. When you're saved, it's in your spirit. When you're baptized in the Spirit, it's in your spirit and nowhere else. The soul did not get converted. The soul never will be converted. God says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and so forth, will of God. So by the Spirit, you take control over the mind, the emotions, and the will. When you see a Christian that's all to pieces, they're not getting authority from the Spirit. Now, I think if a survey could be taken, you would find that there are more people who have more peace, who've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, than those who have not been, because He's the Spirit of peace. He's the one that controls the mind, the emotions, and will, so that you can bring them into line to live according to the will of God. So, on that third one, it's the cross. We crucify the flesh on the cross, because here's your mind, emotion, and will, your soul. You go along, let's say you tell a lie. Everyone here has. You tell another lie, exaggeration, half-truth, white lies, spoken, so forth. Gets to be to where the tongue wags, the lies roll. But you tell lies. Here comes a demon of lying. Says, well, look here. It's just like I am, same wavelength. Looks like I look, talk like I do, has my name, I'm going in. And so what? In the midst of telling a lie, in comes a demon of lying. Where does it come? To the mind, the emotions, and the will. Where you lie like this, you're going to lie like this. Stronger and longer. Only cure is cast the demon out. Bible says, in my name you shall what? And there's only one name, and that's the name of Jesus. And none other does it. So, sir? Oh, yeah, don't forget that part of it. Repent for the lying before you come against it. That's right. Now, you cast the demon out. It will immediately follow you. Some people have crowds following them. Some people are demon motels. Most people are. But they follow you. They test you. They try you. Beware of picking up any message, or you're listening, from a dead sleep to where you're not quite awake. And you say, God told me. 10 times out of 9, God does not speak to you when you're half asleep or half awake. That limbo kind of time, that period. No, God wants to speak to you when you're clear-minded. God wants to speak to you when you know it's God. Many people come to me and say, one morning I was about half awake and half asleep, and the Lord spoke to me. I almost never believe that. Because God wants your senses to be proper. He wants to speak to your spirit. And when He does, you know it's God. But early in the morning, it comes a voice. And you're in bed, it's rainy, it's cold. You wish you didn't have to get up. You hate the fact of doing it. You say, I hate these days. They make me depressed. Wish I didn't have to get up. Man, I hate that job. Wish I'd get a different job with this or that. My wife, I don't smell the coffee. She's not fixing it again. She's sleeping overtime. On and on. All the bad things come. You think you're thinking those thoughts? You're thinking wrong. The demon's sitting there programming you. Do you think he knows how to program you? Been in there 10, 20, 30. Do I hear 40? 40, 45? Do I hear 50? Do I hear 50? They've been in there about the time you were born. And they know you better than you know yourself. Because there have been times when you say, I don't know why I did that. But the demon does. There are some people, when the demons are cast out, I'll call them later on and say, how are you doing? They'll say, Brother Tom, I'm confused. I'm really confused. And I always say, praise the Lord, that's wonderful. And they say, what do you mean? I said, because before you let the demons go up, here's you. You let the demons go up and take care of the situations. Now they're out. Now you got to come up and face life. You let them do it for you. Like anger come up, get mad, pitch a fit, have a hissy, and you make people mad and afraid of you, and you win again. No, you don't win. The demons win. Every time it wins, it's stronger in you. Lying, depression, headaches, you name it. You deal with it in the negative way. Now the demon's out. You've got to come up and face life. So don't be surprised if you're confused. Praise the Lord and walk right on through it. So we cast the demon out. We keep it out with the L treatment. And then number 4, 1 is run, 2 is L, 3 is crucify, number 4 is door. I'm appalled at the people who say, I say, who's your pastor? Well, used to belong to this church, that church, was here. Right now I don't have a pastor. How long have you been without a pastor? Well, it's been 2 years. About the same as the people get the baptism of the Holy Spirit and stay in some church, and they say, I'm staying in that church, I'm going to change the whole church. Well, praise the Lord, how long have you been there? 10 years? How many people have gotten the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, none yet. But one of these days, you're in the wrong place. I don't have to ask you that. If you're in a place where the Holy Spirit is made light of, where tongues are considered of the devil, and where it'd be an embarrassment to you and the preacher and everybody if someone spoke in tongues, and they probably already all run out the front door, you're in the wrong place. Unless God has specifically spoken to you and told you to stay there. And you won't go in a year or 2 years and be unproductive. God says about that, tear it up by the roots and get rid of it. So move. Again, you have to judge that and decide on your own. So here comes the church. You ought to go to the church. You ought to join it. If you need to be baptized in water. And I think personally, now this is personal opinion, but I got it out of the Bible, okay? And not because my background is Baptist. I joined a Baptist. I was nothing. I brought up one denomination, got saved, went to every kind of a church I could think of and find in Hollywood, California, in that area. And then finally went to the Baptist and had them baptize me. I didn't care what they believed. I just knew they believed in immersion to picture the death of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, and the resurrection. Now, you can get to heaven without baptism, you'll be ashamed. And I sometimes wonder if you really can. If you say, I love Jesus, and you don't love him enough to go and publicly follow him in baptism, what kind of religion you got? It's not worth standing up for the Lord. I doubt if he'll stand up for you. So, you ought to be baptized. The immersion pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I don't want to embarrass anyone, don't intend to, but I don't find that in sprinkling. And usually when you sprinkle, it does not picture the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Now that's extra, no charge there. So you ought to be baptized in water, and then you ought to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you follow God's plan, it's number one, be born again, Acts 16:17. Number two, demons cast out. Don't baptize the demons, get them cast out. Yay. What a good combination today. Those of you who are going to be baptized will cast out demons, and you go down there empty in the demon area and filled with the Spirit. If you don't have the baptism of the Spirit, many a person I've baptized, that came up out of the water was on them down their face, and they're going, they have the baptism speaking in tongues. It's a good combination. Try it. You'll like it, so will the Lord. So be baptized in water. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then there ought to be healing, there ought to be miracles, and go on from there. We skip the second one, casting out demons. As a result, all the rest of it is only part way. As Derek Prince said, he said, you'll start to climb in your Christian life. When you come to the thing, you face the matter of casting out of demons. Either you will cast them out and go on, or you'll level off. And you'll pretty well stay leveled off at that level if you don't meet that part of God's plan. All right. Then number five is live. Be a live Christian. Seems like when people get the baptism of the Spirit, if they get soul winning, if they get witnessing about being lost, all they want to do is go after the gifts, and that's not a sin. But they forget the lost sinner. Win the lost sinner and bring him to Christ. And the wonderful part of it now is, when I win someone to the Lord now, oh boy, then I say, now the Bible teaches, look here, cast out demons. And you know what they say? Okay, how do you do it? And then the Bible says, baptize in the Spirit, and they'll say, fine, how do you do it? You got a new recruit, they're starting from nothing, and you show it to them in the Bible, and they want to follow it. My son's a good example of that. He got saved one day, and we follow these things right after the other. All right. Up until now, we've talked about the matter of demons, that they can come into you by what you do. Back up. Then come into you by being transferred or inherited or passed down through the century. God says, visiting the iniquity of the fathers, that's you. I'm the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. You're there, your father's the first generation, grandfather second, great-grandfather third, great-great-grandfather the fourth. And I don't think you can leave out mama's side of it either. On mama's side goes her father, her grandfather, great-grandfather there. So you got two bunches been piled in, do you? When you're born, you're going to have a whole bunch of them there. And you can start out this life with demons. We know people who have had demons, and they knew they had them before they were ever born. If you want to read something that'll bug your eyes and will shock you, read The Secret Life of the Unborn Child by, I believe, Kelly. Or I'm not too sure, but that book talks about things that happen, things that take place. And I could take an hour just of experiences with babies that have happened because the demons came in before they were born. So you have them down that way. Then when you start in your Christian life, as I mentioned, you do this, do this, sin, whatever it is. Babies start lying in the crib. Holler and holler, you go chuck them out, and nothing wrong with them. They're not even wet, let alone hungry, but they like some attention. So holler and help, 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 and you go and do them. Then they grow up. We have people that say the first time I had a homosexual experience was from my babysitter. First time I had a lesbian experience was there. On from there, first time this happened, and they go back in. If they don't, you sometimes push on back into there, and the demon will tell you about it. Then we grow up, and you get married. And when you get married, she brings hers, and you bring yours. And you pick up hers, and she picks up yours. Then your children are born, and they pick them up from both of you. No wonder the poor kids are such a mess, huh? And yet we look down on that and think they're terrible and so forth. But the many ways you can pick up demons. You go, the baby's sick, the doctor doesn't know just what's wrong. You go to a, quote, faith healer, and they'll tell you what's wrong with the child. And they pray for the child, they move warts or other things are wrong, and you put demons in that child while it's little. So there's so many ways we can pick up demons that we can't even tell them all. But what about this matter of demons in us? Jesus said, and I need to go back. Jesus said in Luke 4, the devil attempted him. He overcame the devil, and every time he overcame him, he said, it is written. And every time he said that, he overcame. You and I need to know our Bible well enough to where we can stand out and say three words, it is written, and go from there. And as long as you say it is written, and according to the Word of God, you go that direction, you've got it. The devil can't stop you, nor anyone else. But in Luke 4, it says, verse 1, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, into the wilderness. Have you ever been led by the Holy Spirit into a wilderness? You were, maybe didn't you recognize it? And it goes on, he was tempted and he overcame. But it came down to verse 18. Now he went to church, synagogue by name. And while he was in there, they brought him the scroll or the scripture, and he stood up to read the scripture. Here's what he read. Isaiah 61, verse 1. This Jesus read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Number one, evangelism. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Two, to preach deliverance to the captives. Three, recovering of sight to the blind. Four, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Five, and then he said to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, which I believe is, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Salvation now, deliverance now, healing now. Don't always put away out there in the sweet by and by. After he did that and told him why he came, they thought it was wonderful, and then they turned on him, got mad at him, and they took him to the edge of the city, to the cliff where it was built, and they're going to push him off. I believe he bound the demons. I believe he just softly said, in my holy name, I bind every demon and every person here. They can't touch me. He just walked down between them as if they didn't know he was there and left. So he went from there to church. Now you would think that the demons would leave him alone at church, wouldn't you? But in verse 33, and in the synagogue, church, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. That should be demon. As far as I can tell, there's only one devil, Satan. There are billions and billions of demons. So it's demons we cast out, technically, not devils. I don't know that matters too much. And the demon cried out with a loud voice, saying, demons can talk, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Now, every demon knows who Jesus is. And every demon is afraid of Jesus. So, let Jesus do the work he wants by the Holy Spirit, and you'll come out on top, and they'll come on outside. Jesus rebuked him. He rebuked the demon, not the man, saying, hold thy peace and come out. We say, demon, shut up, come out. When the demon had thrown him in the midst, that is, he went down on the floor, he came out of him, and I like this, he said, hurt him not. Over in Luke 10, it says, they shall in no wise harm you. When someone tells you a demon came out of this person and hurt you, they are wrong, and you're wrong to believe it. In this church service today, I don't care who you are, how many you are, no one can be harmed by a demon coming out of somebody else.
Amen.
In the first place, they don't want to be in you. They want to go back in the person they came out of. But sometimes people go to deliverance service, mass deliverance, and they'll say, I was singing there, and I saw the lady in front of me act up, and then I went next to her, and I know a demon came out of this woman, but in the other one. No, no, no. Let me give you the truth of it. The demon of, let's say, rebellion act up in this one, and so did the rebellion demon act up in the other one. Two separate demons. When they go out, they do not want to go to anybody else. How do I know that? Matthew 12:48, 42, when the unclean spirit goeth out of a man, he or it, I'd rather call it, it walketh through dry places seeking rest, and findeth none. It saith, I'll go back into my house from whence I came out. It wants back in you, because it was in you. It will not and does not want to go into somebody else. There can be exceptions. I'll agree to that. But there are so few. That's right, if you make it. So, when it comes out, don't fear that, oh, demons might come out of my somebody, relative, and come into me. No way. Secondly, you're covered by the blood, and no demon can cross the bloodline. I know that to be true, and you know it now, because it's the Word of God. So, he went to the synagogue. The man stood up and yelled at Jesus. We've had this happen to us. And he commanded the demon to come out. I believe he just stood up there at the front and spoke to it, and out it came. And the man hit the floor. Happened there, and doesn't have to happen every time. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he casteth out evil spirits. It takes two things, authority and power. If God gives you authority, God will give you the power. He always backs up his authority. What's the authority? The name of Jesus. So use it, and you'll have the power. Now, the Holy Spirit is used in deliverance, and so you are led by the Holy Spirit, and I think it ought to be done by the gifts. All right, then the Bible says the fame of him went out in every place round about. Verse 38, and he, that is Jesus, arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. Simon's wife's mother, the first pope's mother-in-law, was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. That is, she had a high fever, 103, 104, and they said, Jesus, would you go in and pray for my mother-in-law? And I believe Jesus, Peter, James, and John went with him right in there, prayed for her. And the Bible says, Jesus stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Let me try that out. Pulpit, moved 2 feet to the right. Pulpit, move 2 feet to the right. Why didn't that pulpit move? You're looking at me like a calf at a new gate. Like you thought it might take place. Why didn't that pulpit move? Because it can't hear, it can't obey. When he spoke to it and told that fever to leave the woman, what did the fever have to be? A demon. It had to be able to hear and to obey. He spoke to it and it left. We had this happen with our granddaughter. She had high fever. We spoke to it, commanded to leave. It was around 104, and within 5 minutes, it was gone. And she was all over Grandma and Grandpa's house in 2 minutes. Now, all the demons, in a little bit more here. Jesus set the example. You don't find deliverance as we do it now in the Old Testament, only in the New Testament. And Jesus began it. Then as he went along, the first 12 men he called, he prayed all night before he did it, he called them together, and look at Luke 9, verse 1. He called these men together, and here's what he said to them. Then he, that is Jesus, called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority. Remember I told you, remember those two, authority and power and authority, and over all demons and to cure diseases. You know what? The day you were saved, the day you were born again, you had all power and authority over demons. They cast out demons and they weren't even born again. You know that's true? None of them were born again until John 20. They cast out demons and didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You were born again of the Holy Spirit, and you had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the fullness. Man, we sure ought to be casting out demons. They did it by only the power of the name of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Then, I hope I didn't throw a monkey wrench in there, but actually it's true. They were not born again while Jesus was here and walked the earth. He went to heaven, sent the Spirit back. He came back and breathed on them and said, "Receive you the Holy Ghost." That was not the baptism. That was the first time they were born again, the Holy Spirit of God. Then on Pentecost came the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the power and the rest of it. Then chapter 10 of Luke. After these things, that is after the things with the 12, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he would come. They're going to prepare things ready for the Lord to come. Now, rather than read all of that, remember they went by twos. Nine, they healed the sick. They preached the kingdom of God. Then he said in verse 17, the 70 returned again with joy. They came back to Jesus, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through thy name." They could have talked about big crowds. They could have talked about the people that are healed. They could have talked about a lot of things, but they talked about one thing. What? Casting out demons. And one of the lowliest, but one of the most important, one of the very elementary, but the beginning things that ought to be done in our Christian life. And so it says, Jesus said unto them, verse 18, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. The devil's a loser, don't forget it. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions," physical representation of demons, "over all the power of the enemy," that's the devil, "and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Believe that. If you're here and you get hurt during the deliverance, then God does not tell the truth. That's impossible. So you cannot pick up any demons during this service. You never did. You never will. Now, the only exception, if there's someone sitting in the church and they think, "Boy, is that guy crazy?" I don't believe a bit of that. I think he's just nuts, and I hope I can get out of here. And then out of curiosity, well, I guess I'll stay just to see. But if you are scoffing, doubting, and the like, you probably won't pick up the demon from somebody else, but your demons and you will give you everything but peace, because scoffing is the devil's big thing, and don't do it. Now, after that, Peter cast out demons, Paul cast out demons, Philip the deacon cast out demons, an unknown Christian. It's rather amusing. This person's casting out demons, and John saw him, and he said, "Lord, I saw this guy casting out demons. This is vernacular Tom." And he said, "I stopped him. Wouldn't let him do it because he didn't belong to our charismatic group." And the Lord said, "Don't do that. No man can do miracles." That tells me that casting out demons is miracles, a great miracle. And it'll bring a miracle in your life if you just let it come to pass. "No one can do miracles in my name and be against me." So demons are real. They want into us. You are made in the image and the likeness of God. They want to ruin that image and likeness. And that's why they're so much after people. They can get revenge against God, the devil and his demons, the best way. Ruin God's highest creation, people. Just mess them up. Just put them in torment. Just turn them every way but loose. Pity is, people do it, and they say, "I'm suffering for Jesus. I'm going through it to the glory of God." And the demons are laughing, crossing their legs, picking their teeth, and say, "Is she dumb? He sure doesn't know. It's not of God, and you don't have to keep them." Now, turn with me to Galatians 5. It hasn't happened here, but most of the places we go, somebody will come up and look me in the eye, and they'll say, "Demons, demons, demons. Always talking about demons. Why don't you? I like to talk about Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus." You know what? She's got a religious spirit, or he has a religious spirit. They'll do it. I can almost pick them out. Well, I could point to some of you right now and tell you, you've got religious spirits. But when you teach a subject, you have to talk about demons. Nobody loves Jesus more than I do. I wish he'd call me only to win lost souls. I'd rather be an evangelist or a personal soul winner. But he called me for this, and this is what I do. Now, in Galatians 5, beginning with verse 19, we're going to go down and we're going to read the works of the flesh. Remember I told you like this? You do something, you do something, and you bring the demons to you. We're going to go down this list. Sometimes I go someplace and people say, show me the Bible where it says that the person had a spirit of anger, that Jesus cast out a demon of anger. Well, I don't know. Well, where does it say that Jesus cast out a demon of suicide? I can't put my finger on it. Well, then, how come you cast out demons that aren't listed in the Bible? Sounds good. Doesn't it sound religious? Makes me sick. The Bible says if all the things that Jesus did were put in a book, the world could not hold the books. And Jesus said, the works that I do, you should do, and greater works than you do because they go to the Father. I think Jesus covered the blatant, open, evident spirits, and I believe everyone was planned, predestined almost, that Jesus did. But when you start working deliverance, if you cast out nothing but the ones that are listed in the Bible, boy, there'll be a lot of lame ducks running around. Be a lot of fouled up people. So let's look at these, though. For every one of these works of the flesh, at some time or other, we've cast out that demon by that name or the derivative of that. So it says. Now, the works of the flesh, remember, this is not demons. This is sin. Works of your flesh, your own nature that you do, are manifest or are made known. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. Now, isn't that something? You mean witchcraft can be a work of the flesh? Yep, God says can. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seductions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I told you before, as I've also told you in time past, they which do such things, or a better word, those who continually practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I like this part. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. A lot less gifts or fruit of the Spirit listed than there are of the works of the flesh. And it's for a purpose. I want to go back. I got to looking at that, and I said, well, sometime I'll teach on the works of the flesh. Because it's the works of the flesh that bring in the demons. Number one, the first one listed was adultery. Now, I majored in English in college, you wouldn't believe it, but I've got a dictionary, and so I follow it. They say college, but all you learn is to you go and learn where to find what you need to know. I knew that before I went, but it helped a little bit. Number one, adultery. So I checked dictionary and books. That's sexual relations with anyone other than your husband or your wife, outside of marriage. Now, see, I think sometimes when we deal with fornication, adultery ought to be included. The second word, fornication. The Greek for that is porneia, and that's the most inclusive sex sin, a word known, unless it might be sodomy. In the Greek, the porneia, the work itself, includes more sexual activity than any other word in the Bible. It includes such things as incest, idolatry, spiritual idolatry, or spiritual adultery is what idolatry is. Sodomy, homosexual, lesbian, incest, on and on. Bestiality, fornication includes all of those. The third one, uncleanness, that's debauchery or anything that is the opposite of clean. And the next one, lasciviousness. Man, I remember the first time I was casting demons out of someone. And this guy's demons talked a lot. And when they do, it's kind of convenient to say, all right, who's that? And point at the guy. And this demon says, lasciviousness. And I said, what do you do? Because I didn't know. This was 17 years ago. And it said, everything. Finally, we got through it. I found out lasciviousness is kind of like sin in any direction. You name it, we'll do it. Want to go get drunk? Let's go. You want to have sex? Let's do it. You want to do drugs? Let's do it. You want to dig up graves? Let's do it. You want to do? Do it. So lasciviousness is kind of the attitude. Anyway, you name it and I'll do it. Or I'll help you if you don't know it. Lewdness, of course, that's not here, but lewdness and lasciviousness are close. Lewdness, unrestrained sin, licentiousness related to sinning. Then the next one is idolatry. That's extreme admiration of the heart, anything on which the affections are set. This, again, is spiritual adultery, A-D-U-L-T-E-R-Y. Witchcraft, pharmakia is the word, the pharmacists at the drugstore get the word from that. Witchcraft can be a work of the flesh. It draws to it a demon and becomes that. Or you can have witchcraft and have never been in the occult. For instance, a mother can so control her children. Let's take a boy and a girl. A mother or the father can so control a child. You do this, you do this, you can't do this, you can't do the other, and be so legalistic and be so tight-fisted and controlling that child so much. Control, manipulation is witchcraft. And so you can have witchcraft, mama or daddy, and never have even heard the word of occult, because it comes by practice. Control, manipulation, you have it. Now, you say, well, aren't you supposed to correct your kids? You sure are. You need to teach them, bring them up in the love and the admonition of the Lord. And God says, do it every day. He says, do it when you sit down, when you rise up, in the morning, during the day, on and on and on. But the controlling of one person by another, by a spirit other than the Holy Spirit, becomes witchcraft. Many have that and don't know it. Oh, I could give you illustrations of that, of children who have yelled out their mother, you control me to where I can't even think. To go away to college. One woman said her daughter came home from Wheaton College, where I started, got acquainted with Billy Graham when I attended there. And the girl came home at Christmas time, and she started on her mother, and she said, Mother, I hate you. I hate you. You control me. You've just made every decision for me. You made me do just what you wanted. You've never even let me think for myself. And now I'm in college and I can't think for myself. And she said, I hate you. And turned off her hand in her room. When I went to speak in that full gospel businessmen's meeting, the Lord said, told me there are four women here with witchcraft. And they showed me who they were before we left. One was this wife of the man in the full gospel. We were in the home, prayed for, and God gave a picture. And I said, this is for someone, and it's not for the young man. And she said, could I talk to you by myself? So she and my wife and I went to the husband's office, and then she told me that story. We cast out witchcraft. She's a different woman. They get up to go to church. He go to church by himself. She went to church and took the children with her in another church, because she ruled the roost and she ruled him. You be careful about controlling even your husband. It can be very deadly and very bad. Well, witchcraft. It also includes sorcery, casting spells, so-called healings from evil spirits, magical incantations, charms, drugs, potions, and the like. Then there's hatred. Number seven, that's hold ill against someone, to hold grudges, or continue being angry towards someone, to detest someone. Variance, that needs explanation. That's dissension, discord, quarreling, disagreement, debating, disputes. Emulations, that's envies, jealousy, striving to excel at the expense of another, seeking to surpass or outdo other people, uncurbed rivalry spirit in religion, in business, in sports, in society, in the family. A lot of that. We usually get it by the others, the jealousy, the envies, and the like. The next one, number 10, is wrath. Wrath means fits of anger, temper, tantrums, indignation, fierceness, turbulent passions, lasting anger, strong anger, temper, rage, murder. Quite often people say, you know, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Don't make excuse for it. There aren't very many people that God tells to get angry unless angry against sin, not against an individual. You can include wrath among the, wrath you include a lot more spirits. Then there's strife. That's disputing, jangling, strife about words, seeking, self-seeking, angry contentions, contests for superiority, advantage to get revenge. Seditions, divisions, parties, factions, stirring up strife. That only happens in the Baptists. That's where I came from. Every time I see a New Hope Baptist church, I know what happened. The other church split, and New Hope was one, and something else was the other. Now, you Methodists, don't laugh. You can do it, too, and you've done it. You name any denomination, and many of them are growing only because of splits. What a pity. Split in the church, that's why they got two of them, and both they glare at each other and hate, absolutely hate. Like the one who said, did you Baptists have a good revival this year? No, we didn't either. But neither did the Methodists, thank God. That's the actual attitude toward them. What a pity. Then there's murders. That's to kill, to despoil. You can kill without using a knife. You can break the spirit and kill them spiritually. Hatred. God says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And if nothing else, who crucified Jesus? You did with your sins. Every person ever born is a murderer. That helps sometimes in soul winning. Like if you get someone that kind of needs convincing, take the Ten Commandments. Yeah, I can go down the line and prove to them they've broken every single one of the Ten Commandments. They say, but I didn't break that. Which one's kill? Number six. Okay, I never killed anybody. I said, well, let's leave that one hanging. Before I prove them, the rest of them. Then we come down to the last. Jesus was crucified on the cross, died for your sins. Who crucified Jesus? I've seen big, strong men break down and cry. Say, I did. When you're winning them to Jesus, don't be too easy. Get in the place to where they've got something to repent of before they ask God to forgive them and to save them. But let it be by the Holy Spirit, of course. Then there's drunkenness, living intoxicated, a slave to drink. Now you can be drunk on drugs and so forth. Revelings, rioting, lasciviousness, boisterous feastings with obscene music, carousing, orgies. I haven't talked about it, but rock music and punk rock, out of hell. Straight out of hell. What I got to do is look at their albums and see some of the men themselves say they were on drugs and the demons gave them the words, had to give some of them the words in order to put that filth that it is. Yet when your child slaps up that thing or puts the walk, whatever they call them, things on their ears, and they're going down the street, pay no attention to anything else in the world but that rock music that's coming in there. Don't you think that affects them? Sure does. My, oh my. Some of the strong demons are rock demons. And I mentioned before, I have a big question about Christian rock. And that's right. What Christian rock? My big question is, why do they put Christian on it? I doubt it very much, but it can be. By the way, a certain rock star that got saved and came into churches, big leads of music in a big church somewhere, 1,000 miles from here, 100 years ago. The man who was his assistant came to me for deliverance. My, oh my, what a thing. The things that they go through. And then after he got saved and still going out doing similar music, similar beat, and so forth, he said, Brother Tom, while I'm out doing that, I can live pretty good. But when I come home, he said, these things are driving me crazy. You just about name it, he was doing it. We cast him out. He went away a new man. Now, the verse 21 says, and such like, talking about such things of the flesh. It says here, you can't list them all. And he didn't list them all. He only gave 17. So I want to give you a few such like or similar things, deeds of the flesh. Now, there's a demon for everyone we've called so far, and the derivatives of them. But listen to these also. There's addictions. The addiction is a legion spirit. Here's addiction. You get addiction. Then you get addiction to alcohol, addiction to drugs, addiction to food, ouch, addiction to ouch, addiction to ouch. There's one called addiction to talking. You call it short, you just call it blabbermouth. There are some people, they call you on the telephone. There's one thing you do, and that's this. They're talking, you say, yes, yes, no, all right. See, they're talking all this time. Maybe, uh-huh, uh-huh. I can point to some of you right here tonight, this afternoon, that have that demon. Do you know that that's a type of witchcraft? It is witchcraft. When you control them by anything else but the Holy Spirit. Because when you're talking, you got it. You can be in a group of people, and if that particular woman comes in, or man comes in, or boy or girl, when they come in, they're going to get the conversation. And you're going to sit and listen to them. People sitting there irks them. It grieves their spirit. It hurts them. Some of you need that spirit cast out. Then there's addiction to rock music, addiction to fishing. Don't say that. Addiction to golf, don't say that one too loud. Addiction to TV, addiction to pleasure, addiction to fun, addiction to work, lots of addictions. This didn't list in these 17, it didn't list lying. Exaggeration, half-truth, white lies, and the like. Then there are religious spirits, like legalism, religious pride, deception, denominational spirits, party spirits, on and on. Guilt, self-condemnation, self-accusation, that'll eat you up. Always bring him back. If you ever gone to bed at night and you pictured something you did, Jesus wasn't doing that. Some people think it was, and they lay there and suffer for Jesus. You're suffering because the devil and Jesus is grieved. Then there's insecurity. 10 out of 9 people have that one. Inferiority, nerves, tension, anxiety, apprehension, fear of failure, fear of success. I've dealt with men. They call them headhunters. I had a woman the other day who was a headhunter. Now, a man or a woman who's a headhunter goes and finds top executives for big companies. Companies say, I need a vice president in charge of such and such. And they go searching for them. Of course, they have their portfolio, and they travel far and wide, find the person, get the company, bring them to the company, and they hire them. They call those people headhunters. And I mean, they've got a job to do. I've had people out of that profession come to me insecure, like this. Fear of failure, like this. And yet they're big and they're looked up to in their company, and they're as insecure as you can be. Don't think that you're the only one that has the demons you have. The devil would like to have you think that, or you're the only person that has the demon of whatever it might be. No, that demon's telling you that so it can make it stronger and have more control within you. Don't believe the devil's lies. Well, there are sex demons, we've called them, but there's adultery, fornication, lust, masturbation, incest, bestiality, frigidity. That's when it says, don't touch me, or I got a headache. Fear of sex, homosexual, lesbian. Rejection, fear of rejection, self-rejection, and all. Fears. Number one, the biggest of all, legion spirit of fear, under fear of failure, fear of success, fear of drowning, fear of water, fear of people, fear of men's faces. That one is, you couldn't come up here and face people and look at them and talk. You couldn't even think. You'd just be so tied up. That's fear of men's faces. There's fear of marriage, fear of sex. There's a demon of divorce. If you've been married, I'd say more than twice, without question. We haven't come, one woman that had 5 divorces, he had 4 divorces, and they were living together, and we took a long time with them in a lot of directions. Then there's fantasy, daydreaming, make-believe, evil imaginations, escape reality. You say, what's wrong with fantasy? Many artists have that. I'd say all artists have that. May not be demonic, but their imagination, they have to use it. There's nothing wrong with that. It's of God until it's pushed too far. A lot of teachings are all right until they're pushed too far in the Christian faith. Then they become heresies when they become controlling and addictive. Confusion, interesting one, and it usually comes in. If you've been in the occult, you'll have depression and you'll have confusion. Spirits of infirmity. And some of you have been concerned, have come to me and said, are you going to pray for those? I promise. And if I forget, Glenn's going to remind me. But infirmities like asthma, allergies, arthritis, sinus, cramps, back troubles, bad back, deafness, diabetes, low blood sugar, came against a person one time, and we were casting demons out. And I said, demon, what's your name? The demon said, low blood sugar. And I said, well, now, isn't that interesting? We got a demon of low sugar blood. See, I mixed it up. The demon sat up and said, get it straight. Low blood sugar. They're very proud. Now, I should drop this in. Please don't get the idea that I'm always talking to demons. I'm not. I may go week to me, a month or longer, and never talk to a demon. I'm talking about 18 years, 365 days a year. I'm talking about 18 years of working in deliverance. Do not make it your thing to be always talking to demons. The longer you talk to a demon, let's say this is your level of authority. As you talk to that demon, the longer you talk, here goes your authority. Down, 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 down. Until after a while, the demon will mock you. He'll laugh at you, and you can't do anything with it. I know. So beware of talking to demons.
Right. Amen.
Then there's the occult. My, there's so much of that. Hardly go into it. But if you... Oh, how many of you know your so-called zodiac sign for your birthday? Raise your hand. I won't cut them off. You almost did when you played with the Ouija board or learned your thing, got in the occult, let those spirits in. You cannot play with the Ouija board without getting demons of divination or Ouija. It can't be done. You go in the devil's territory, the devil's going to whack you. When you came into this territory, into this room, you heard my voice. You can never say you didn't hear my voice. You go in the devil's territory, he'll whack you. No need to say he didn't or it didn't. It will and it already has. Well, when do demons become, when does a Christian become demon-possessed? Never. A Christian can never be demon-possessed. A lost sinner can. I appreciate what Brother Howard said. Some people didn't have hardly any demons around. They were lost sinners. The devil had them and knew it. And so he put his demons on people that needed it. And I believe the name of every person that casts out demons written on the halls of hell. I know that they know about them up there in the other places. And they say, get them. Now, I don't believe I'll throw it open to questions. I'm kind of waiting. Are the children coming? Because I want them in on it. They need deliverance like mom and daddy. But if Howard's talking to him, he may be doing just as much good. Huh? All right. I tell you what. Do you have a question that really you yourself want answered? It's important to you.
You mentioned something about the bloodline, and I was thinking about that as far as spiritual.
Good. He asked the question, what about the bloodline? Can diseases pass down through? Oh, yes. They go by the one person to the other. Just like a person said to me, well, I've got sinus problems. My mother had it. And sometimes I said, well, what about your grandma? Oh, yeah, she's my mother and grandma both have it. If you can trace it back, you'll find it goes back third and fourth generation. Heart trouble. My, so many. My brother tried to put that on me. My father died of heart trouble. My brother died in his 30s of heart trouble, dropped dead. And my brother, who is 6 years older than I have two brothers, just had a massive heart attack, had a triple bypass, and he wrote a letter to me saying, well, brother, I can see we're kind of set up for it, aren't we? Dad had it, and my brother died of it, and so forth and so forth. I wrote back and said, I don't receive that. I've already cast that one out. I wish he believed in the baptism. I wish he believed in deliverance. I sort of believe he's saved, but no, don't accept that. And just say, well, you know, that's our family disease. It's been passed down through the family. No way. Yes, sir.
I don't want fallen angels, but what's the difference between fallen angels and a demon?
All right. What's the difference between a fallen angel and a demon?
Where they come from?
Some people think the fallen angels are demons. And I don't believe they are. Demons, according to the Bible, it says, when the unclean spirit goeth out of a man, it walketh through dry places seeking rest. Demons are earthbound. Fallen angels fly and have wings. Now, let's take logic for a moment, or reasoning. Would something that flies and has wings, would it want to get into us who cannot? Can you imagine an angel in there like this? You're going around carrying the thing, and it'd sure like to do something. It can't because it's in you, and you won't fly. Can't fly. Somebody will think the cannon on drugs, and they take out through the 10th-story window and find they couldn't do it. But I believe the fallen angels are more the ones who are in the upper, and they help work from the principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness, and heavenlies, which is the second heaven. I believe they work between them and the earth. But the demons themselves, there is a Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, Genesis 1, verse 2. Seemingly there was something that happened in there. The earth was void, without form. Darkness was upon the face of the earth. Doesn't sound like creation, does it? And it was without form and void. Then the Holy Spirit started to move and brought it out into light and so forth. I believe that there was a generation of some sort before Adam and Eve. That back there was when the devil sinned and they went with him. But it really doesn't matter too much which they are. You don't ever have to have it done. All you need to know is, demon, get out. Like some people say, can you be suppressed, possessed, messed, or whatever? The Bible does not differentiate between any of it. It just brings it that the demon is in you or out of you. It does not tell or does not describe being suppressed or those other things that people get into. Yes, ma'am.
AIDS
Okay. I believe they're always see myself. I believe it's the devil's end time thing that he was waiting for the right opportune time and to move it in. The devil isn't dumb. He was perfect in wisdom, the Bible says. He was perfect in beauty. You get perfect beauty and perfect wisdom together and you got a real mess. It turned out to be a devil. And it's never happened since. And so I believe that, I'm sorry, your question again. Thank you. Thank you. I was watching children concerning them come in. We don't know. It's not in the Word. I think Brother Howard mentioned something about some scriptures that seemed to lead to that. But I believe it came as a result of sin. And they claim that originally that it was a sexual relationship with monkeys and to the men, and they got this and went on to the other and the other. And today we have AIDS. But I don't know. Doesn't too much matter where it came from. We know where we want to send it. And that's, sir, I've had one man with AIDS to come to me. He was born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, worked with him, cast the demons out. And I mean, he was in a bad way. Cast the demons out. He went, the doctors took him off his medicine. And he did fine for a while, went up to PTL, went down to Florida, and was doing great. Wasn't feeling good, so they put him back in and gave him medicine so he can get back in his old condition. I haven't seen him since. But no matter what the demon is, it can be cast out. There isn't any that cannot be cast out. All right. One more question. The lady with the green had her hand up, or blue.
All right. Joe, do you not think that AIDS is a judgment of God upon the immorality in this country?
That's right. But it comes many times by the devil. The devil's the one that puts it on. He can, but let's not get into, you know, jangling on it. We don't know where AIDS came from. You can't pinpoint it. Maybe Howard can and allow that. But that's something it's out there. It's here. You've got to deal with it. It doesn't matter where it came from. It's where we want it to go. The other lady.
On what do you base your statement made previously about fallen angels flying
to the upper level? Because they don't fly on the ground. They don't fly on the ground. Flying things are up there in the air. And the air is from the earth, and we're in it, clear on up to where you can see the blue. That's the first heaven, and then the second heaven, and then God's heaven. Oh, I can't get into that now. I'm in deliverance, I'm sorry. That's another subject, and I cannot get into it now. Because we're all set up for deliverance, and we're ready to go. You might ask me later. Yes. That's right. But the matter about angels is not related enough to demons, and so we need to get back to the subject at hand. All right? Thank you. Now, no more questions. I know you may have some, but we can't have them. Now we have the children, and that's all I was waiting on. To those who came in, wow. I'm warning you about evil spirits come into us because of things we do wrong. Tell a lie, steal, cheat, say bad words, temper, sass mama and daddy. A lot of ways that the evil spirits come in. When we do bad things like this, then a demon hears that. The demon says, well, I can go there because she's acting that way or he's acting that way. And so the demon comes into us because of the way we acted. When it does, it's going to make you worse on that order. If you're rebellious or if you told lies like this, now you're going to tell a whole bunch of lies. So evil spirits come. We need to get them out. There's nothing to be feared, and you won't be, anything will bother you today because Jesus promises no evil spirit can hurt you while we're praying to cast the demons out. All right? Now, we have enough extra that I'm going to need to go back to the matter of passing them down through goodness. Spirits which are, quote, inherited. Then we pray and then away we go. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing and your goodness. I claim protection and blood of Jesus over everyone here and their loved ones. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are here And we rely on your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in the precious name of Jesus. Everything I do, the demons are in the people here. Everything I do, when I say Jesus, demons, I mean Jesus Christ of Nazareth, God's Son. You know Him. You know you have to obey. You don't make a choice as to whether or not you come out. You go out. Because it is written, in my name, in the name of Jesus, you shall cast out demons. We thank you, Father, in your precious name. Amen. We need to deal first with unforgiveness. And again, we have enough new ones that we need to deal with that first. And God says this in Mark 11:25. Whenever, let me ask you to do this. Put your Bibles on the floor, please. Don't hold them on your laps. Put your Bibles on the floor or a seat next to you. Any writing material. Don't have something that, like it'll go to slip and you've got to get it and it'll bother you. Keep yourself as free as you can of any hindrance. So if you put your Bibles on the floor and your writing material. Whenever you stand praying, Jesus said, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. In order that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. God says, forgive so that you can be forgiven. And then in Matthew 6:14-15, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I dare say more than half of the Christians, maybe three-fourths, are walking around in unforgiveness. You're wasting your time on praying. God says, if you don't forgive, I cannot forgive, and I will not. So we have to forgive others, or we're not forgiven. Dangerous way to live, isn't it? And then Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Now hear this. If anyone has a complaint against another, you say, well, I'll forgive them if they hurt me and stole and so forth, but she gripes me, forgive it. I missed that for a long time. But you forgive all sins and complaints. And that's found in Colossians 3:13. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. That means to me, Jesus forgave me, even of things that could be called complaints. So I must forgive everybody else of the same. One more, Luke 6:35-37. Judge not. You want to hear you never judged anyone? And you should not be judged. Condemn not. Anyone who never condemned someone, and you should not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. What does he say? Put them together, and there are many more scriptures. He says, you must forgive, or God will not forgive, and God cannot forgive you. So forgive, or you're sunk. So I need to lead you in that prayer, and pray this with me, everyone. Say, Heavenly Father, please forgive me of all my sins. Any demons that I have in me, I want to be revealed and cast out, just as it was done in the Bible. Now, if you'd open your eyes and look up, because I need to illustrate this. Say this. I choose by an act of my will, regardless of my emotions, that I will forgive everyone of everything they have ever done or said against me. I hold no hate, no bitterness, and no resentment. In the name of Jesus, because I have followed the Bible, I have forgiven everyone. The Lord has forgiven me. And also, I now forgive. Names will start and come to your mind. Softly say them out loud. I think you need to hear yourself say it. It'll be father, brother, sister, a first wife or second, first husband, second husband, Sunday school teacher, preacher, a church, some man. You keep softly saying those. In other words, we want you to express who you need to forgive. Get them off your heart. Now, because of time, we'll do this. And I also forgive everyone else whom I should forgive. But whose name did not come to my mind. I forgive you, Heavenly Father. That startles some people, but we blame God for things. We feel bad because He didn't do for us what we wanted. And I forgive myself. Of every sin I ever committed.
Every foolish and unwise thing
that I have ever done or said.
Therefore,
I now have the right to demand.
Every demon must go out of me.
When his name is called.
And we should begin with unforgiveness.
Now, once you do that, do not go on praying. Do not pray in tongues. No more praying. You've renounced it, which means I don't like it, I don't want it, I hate it. You've taken care of that part of it. Then I'll take authority, and I'll demand the demons always. I'll say, go to the throat, go to the mouth, and then when I know that they're there, I'll say, cough. All right? All right, demons, unforgiveness, you're first. Move, 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 cough. Hate, cough. Bitterness, cough. Resentment, cough. Good. Get out of here. Get off the property. If you've been used to coughing a long time or really coming up, we used to do that. But we found that if we will control them and tell them where to go and how to go and when, we cut down on a lot of extra things we don't need to do. Say in the name of Jesus,
I renounce
all spirits of pride,
high and lifted up,
important,
big me.
Put down and embarrassed.
Hurt pride.
All pride and vanity.
That are not of God.
Get out in Jesus' name.
Pride,
you will bow to Jesus and come out. Bow, bow, bow. Move, move, move. Cough. And hurt pride, cough. And vanity, cough. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Get out of here. Get off the property in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'm going to step up to here. If you want, you won't have to close your eyes or look down. In fact, I'd rather you keep your eyes here, because demons get more power when they're cut off from someone looking at them. I have more authority over them when I can look at you, and they realize it's like a child. If you look at a child's acting up in church, you turn and look at it. We hope. The child freezes. But same way with demons. And then, all right. Say in the name of Jesus. Renounce all demons of doubt. Unbelief. Disbelief. Skepticism. Questioning spirit. And like kinds. Get out of me. In the name of Jesus. Okay, move, move. Doubt, 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 doubt. Cough. Unbelief, cough. Disbelief, cough. Question, spirit, cough. And again, cough. And one more, cough. Good. Get out of here. Get off this property in Jesus' name. Now, the thought has come to some of your minds. Well, I didn't hear what one he called there. I don't know which one went out. We renounce them at first, and those are the ones that will go. And don't be afraid of the fact that, well, he said something, and I didn't hear him. You won't hear, but the demons will hear. Now, we need to go through breaking some things that are necessary. Say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, by the power of His shed blood on the cross, by the anointing and leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, I now break. Loose myself from all demonic bondage. From my husband. From my wife. My father. My mother. Now, if you've had more than one marriage, just softly say, my first husband, John. Second husband, Bill. Third husband, so forth, whatever you have. As we go sometimes, you will say what a man ought to be saying, but instead of taking the time to say, only the women say, only the men say, only the boys say, we'll just go right along with it, and if it didn't apply to you, it won't hurt you, all right? Then add to that, and grandparents, great-grandparents, and any other ancestors or other persons, living or dead, who have ever dominated me or put me under bondage of any kind. Get out of me now. Okay, bondage, domination, you move. Cough. Domination, cough. And again, cough. Good. Get out of here. Get off this property in Jesus' name. Now, if coughing happens to bother you, you can just go. You do just as well. There's nothing in the Bible to say you've got to cough till you cough blood, and I've seen them do it. But you have to cough till you vomit, and it's not fair. Some do that. Fine, praise the Lord, to get results. Well, I promise you we'll get them results here in this manner. We're in the area in which God says, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, passed from generation to generation and came into you probably before you were ever born. Now we want to take these. Say, in the name of Jesus,
I renounce.
Break and loose myself. Now, wait a minute. How can we have that much authority and know that it's happening? Because Jesus said in Matthew 16:19, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. We are going through the process of loosing. Then we'll come back and cast it out. I loose myself
and my children
and any children that may be born to me. From all physical and mental illness, psychic powers and bondages brought upon me or my children as the result of sins, transgressions, iniquities, occult or psychic involvement of myself, my parents, grandparents, and any other ancestors, living or dead. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that according to the word of God, set me free. And I now demand, you demons that I've just spoken about, pass through the family, get out of me now. All right, demons, you move. Cough, cough. Cough. Good. Now listen to me on this one. And any other demons or other in anyone else here related to what we just talked about, passed down through the family in these things, the next time they cough, the rest of you go. Cough. Good. Get out of here in Jesus' name. Now, I realize that maybe the majority of you have gone through these, but for these who've come today and lately, we don't want to leave them out, and so we want to include it. Let me take this. Let's see, we had a black brother and sister. Who all, just the two of you here? Any others? Black children? All right. When we went to Africa, I'm talking about our ancestors. When our ancestors went to Africa, we put the black people in chains and brought them over to America. We put into them a slavery spirit. And ever since then, slaves. We need to pray and ask God's forgiveness for what white men did to the black men. We need to include Indians and any other ethnic groups. And then we're going to come against and cast out a demon of slavery. I belong to the largest integrated church in America, Chapel Hill Harvester Church in Atlanta, Georgia. That's why we're the caller. We are charismatic Pentecostal. We're not Catholic or otherwise. And the reason we wear that is, number one, the caller is a picture of servitude, serving people. And also when we go places, people know if they need a preacher, here is one. Our bishop went to the hospital to talk to someone while he was there visiting. Someone came in and said, our son tried to commit suicide. He's about to die. Somebody help him. They saw the call and they said, are you Catholic? He said, no. They said, come on anyhow. I doubt if they would ask him to go if he just said, I'm a minister. But he went with the caller to this Catholic boy led him to prayer of repentance, receiving Jesus as Savior, and the man died a little while later. So it doesn't bother me to wear it. In fact, I thank the Lord he had me wear it. But even in our church, I hug as many black women, black men, black boys and girls as I do white. I go an hour before the church service just to greet people, especially the new ones. We have 4,000 at 9 o'clock. They leave. We have 11,000. We have 4,000 at 11 o'clock. And still, we see that everybody gets a hug. Everybody's recognized. It's almost unbelievable. But when I do that, so often, and some of them we love with all our heart. Some of them call me dad and I call them son. Some of the big ones, 6 or 7, Louis Lamar, weighs 350 pounds, used to be a tackle for the New York Jets. I see Louis and I hug him, and his armpit's up here, and I hug him and say, I love you, son. He said, I love you, Dad.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.